Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, the Johnners Podcasting Network and Such Good Shoot want to welcome you to, well, Such Good Shoot, the podcast about anything and everything in wrestling. You know, up here we got Isaac.
Oh, hello.
Over there, we have Shane.
Hi, Shane.
Hi.
I think he broke his wrist at work. I'm your host, Dozer. Let's get it on today.
I think I broke my wrist at work, dude. This son of a bitch hurts.
Why does it hurt?
I don't know, dude. I don't know, man.
That's just not good.
Breaking down a lot of chickens, I think, might have done it.
Oh, yeah. You and those goddamn chickens.
Yeah. Very exciting start to the podcast today. Oh, yes. Chickens.
Well, we're taking our time to get there because, you know, it ain't a good week.
Sure it is. It's a great week. We got a lot to talk about. This upcoming week is a good week. This past week is.
Yes. So I think we need to start off with our traditional raising of the glass, the cracking of the beer to Mr. Wonderful, Paul Orndorff. He left us this week, and we're going to miss you. Cheers, mates. That mic is aggressively loud.
Oh, man. Oh, man. Yeah, Shane's a beer drinker, full disclosure.
That was some shine, too.
Oh, really? Oh, man. Look at you.
That was a 50 spot, brother.
Well, I think we should get on a better note. And I think right away, the first thing I want to do is I can't hold this in anymore. Shane and I have.
I might not be able to hold this in much
yeah,
longer.
Dude, if you got to go. If you got to boot, dude, if you got to go boot. Like, no worries.
No, absolutely
man.
Can hold not, dude. I'll take a sip of this water right here.
But I'm speaking of shine and in drinking. Shane and I had a really, really incredible opportunity. We got to sit down and record an interview last week with one dirty bitch, ODB herself. So tomorrow morning at 4:20 a.m., suchgoodshoot.com, wherever you get your podcasts, so iTunes, Spotify, MyCast,
Anchor.
Podcast, Anchor, any of those places you'll be able to find it, YouTube. So check it out. It's a really fun interview. We talk about food trucking. We talk about booze, getting drunk,
boobs.
Matches, boobs,
yeah,
the power of the bra, and many other things. And so check that out tomorrow morning. And just a teaser, that is not the only interview that we have lined up for you. We're going to announce another one. We're going to announce another one at the end of this podcast. One of I think, four more. Maybe even five more that we have booked out. So like keep an eye out because we're very, very excited this upcoming stretch.
Can I just say how bizarre it is that people actually want to talk to us?
Yeah. You can say it. Please do. Say it.
It's very bizarre people want to talk to us because I don't know about you. But like I'm a big awkward turtle, man. It's all weird and bullshit, man. I don't know what's going on.
It's bizarre, man. It's been really fun, you know. Like in a lot of ways, this is every fan's dream, getting to talk to what you admire and you love watching. So hopefully, we can vicariously with you guys. But speaking of people that we admire and we love, do we have a Sheik of the Week?
It's time for Sheik of the Week. Week.
That was pretty good for not being soundboarded, man.
Yeah,
that was impressive.
My ears are still like fully intact too. My eardrums aren't bleeding.
Yes. real quick, I do feel like I have to say this one. He tweeted a picture of Paul Orndorff and said, Paul Orndorff, my brother, you were the toughest. We train together. We ride together. You were excellent, Bubba. I am so sad. I love you forever. Rest in peace.
I have not poured my other drink yet.
This one is for you, Isaac. 2 days ago, he tweeted a picture of MF Doom and said, MF Doom, I love you, Bubba.
MF Doom is a fucking... one of the greatest of all time. I'm drinking.
And in one more timely one, 4 days ago, he tweeted, Connor McNuggets, or whatever the fuck your name is, talk is cheap, go fuck yourself for good, jabroni, hashtag UFC 264. on the account that Connor broke his own leg in a vicious manner.
Sure did, dude.
Did you ever end up seeing it, Isaac, or at least picture?
I have a hard time with those.
No, no, no.
I saw the picture, okay. And that was more than enough because
that's why
I did something similar to my ankle.
Yeah, that's why I don't send you anything like that, even though like I really, in my heart of hearts, wanted to, just because I feel like your reaction would have been.
Yeah, maybe one of these days, once we start getting some more Patreon subscribers, we can get people, just like we're gonna get people to get you to watch shitty movies. You can get me to watch people breaking their fucking limbs and almost throwing up watching it.
Yeah. Oh, hey, Dozer. It's time for another weekly segment.
Da-na-na! Na-na-na! It's time for Shane.
Have you watched They Live? have you watched that yet?
Did you just record that? Is that going to be the next soundbite, Dozer? Did I see
you? No. I can't record shit.
I thought you were... No, I have not watched They Live.
Yeah, no, we're waiting for that for Crypto to get on that fucking Patreon, dude.
Keep telling everyone.
He's got all these Bitcoins. I told him for one Bitcoin, dude, he can fucking subscribe.
Yeah, bro, honestly.
For one Bitcoin, you don't want to know what I'll do for one Bitcoin.
Yeah, you trade me one singular Bitcoin, Crypto. trade me all of your MJF spoopy Coin. Dollars.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Yeah, that's one. That's a fucking...
Bro.
Good for him. Oh, that's one of the long ones, isn't it?
Yeah, it's one of the annoying ones.
Yeah, dude. I love that you managed to get all of those on the board. So Shane has not watched it. Live. I guess we should... Should we talk about anything in wrestling?
Well,
Shane and I actually... watched. Let's talk about AEW, not this last one, but the one with the first live crowd in wrestling. Can we talk about that, or you want something?
Absolutely. Well, I was going to talk about, you guys finally got me to watch some New Japan. It's been a while since we've chatted.
We've been doing a lot of stuff, man. We've been hanging out together.
It's been a great time. But you know, why don't you guys talk about that that AEW shit going on?
I mean, I just want to talk about the first show back with fans. I didn't get a chance to watch last night just because I had to wake up for work, so I didn't get a chance. But I watched last week's show, and goddamn, I gotta say, I think a lot of it was the crowd, but like, I have missed that energy from the crowd more than I even realized.
And one thing I'll give AEW a lot of credit for is their crowd is almost always insane. It's crazier now. But even pre-pandemic, man, I mean, their crowds were a lot more attuned to like Attitude Era crowds, where it was just constant energy, just people popping everywhere. Maybe not with that face heel dynamic all the time. They, you know, a lot of matches, they were just cheering everything, but that's kind of, you know.
It was just so good to have that like live energy again, though. And like, I think the moment, I mean, you know, like the defining moment was Jericho coming out and the crowd being able to sing his song again and sing his entrance music and like him sitting there, you know, and like I was watching, I was like, look at him, like, you know, this guy's supposed to be a heel, he's supposed to be a bad, and he could not help himself, but like you could see him tearing up.
Jericho's a face now.
Oh, is he now? Okay, so
because he's fighting with the Maxwell dude, the Maxwell.
Right. I figured they were just both fucking doing that shtick. But either way, like he was tearing up, and it was legit, and you could tell. And then fucking dipshit fuckface fat fuck fan.
Yeah, dude, Jim Cornette fan.
The Cornette member.
Yeah, he's called him Cornette member.
Listen, you could talk about him doing something because he thought Cornette would like it, but I have listened to a lot of Cornette's podcasts, and there's never been a single second where he has ever given anything close to an impression that you should ever attack a wrestler, especially trying to jump in the ring.
Yeah,
why would he advocate that? As the man who has beaten down more fans than most other people,
you know, like he's like, yeah, I mean, like he was talked about it, and he says, you know, like there's a difference between me saying like, yes, I look at him and I feel like a normal person could beat up fucking the Young Bucks, and that's completely different from saying I think you should fucking try and jump in the ring and assault them. And it's not, I don't think, you know, and his responses to that were great. Jericho.
But I do bet you Cornette threw him like 100 on the side. You know what I mean? He's like, you know, like I won't block you, but you know, I could just...
I don't think so, man. That's a pretty hard line he has.
Not only that, but Cornette is notoriously cheap, okay? he does not give out any. He's not giving $100 out to anybody if he can fucking avoid it.
So here's the question.
Do you think maybe the fan missed the mark and he was like supposed to go attack Kenny or something, maybe?
I don't know.
He thought Kenny was Jericho.
Yeah, I don't know what the deal was. But either way, I will say, and I will go on record right now, live on fucking air, and I said this when I was watching, that this is the first time I've looked at Kenny Omega and I've seen him as something, seen him as a professional wrestler. Like, he looks the part.
He does. I'm not going to deny that.
I was like, holy shit, he actually looks like a fucking badass heel wrestler. And like, it's weird. Yeah, it's so simple as that facial hair, but it fucking works, man.
Dude, and you also went and a couple nights ago you watched Jericho versus Kenny, the first one from like Wrestle Kingdom 12 or whatever. And you watched just a really wonderful Kenny like fight. I don't want to call that a wrestling match because it wasn't, but
that one was really good. Yeah, I had a really good time with that one, and it was I mean, a lot of it was Jericho, I will say, but at the same time, like,
I think the whole thing was the whole part of it was a lot of it was supposed to be Jericho too.
Yeah, he's just goddamn the energy he brought to New Japan after coming out of fucking WWE, that was just incredible.
There's just
no, he shits on podcasts. We don't need just incredible here.
That was one of the defining moments of our podcast. And I can't I can't find that video anywhere.
There is literally
mm-hmm.
Oh wow. There is like legitimately nothing better in that match though than Chris Jericho punching Red Shoes, then putting his son in the lion tamer right in front
of him. I was so mad. I was like fucking legit.
You were getting real legit heel heat.
I love Red Shoes. Is like, he is on my Mount Rushmore of professional wrestling. He's not one of the four heads. He's just sitting on top of one of them, chilling in his red shoes. But dude, he's an incredible fucking referee.
Yeah, I mean, really one of the best of all time. I mean, yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
insanely good.
Yeah, the best. Awesome. The best in, especially in Japanese wrestling. There's nobody who even comes close.
So Dozer, speaking talk about New Japan, quick, what are some of your quick thoughts about your first couple matches with the company?
So first, you know, I'm the presentation guy. They have great fucking sets. Like, it felt WrestleMania-esque, and I dug that.
We were watching
Wrestle Kingdom 12.
Yeah, we were watching their WrestleMania. So obviously it's big deal. They got to figure out what the fuck is with putting half the words in Japanese, half in English, but none of the same. I don't care what you do, just make it consistent. But the wrestling was fucking phenomenal. Mm-hmm. Some of those bumps, I'm just like, no, stop. Don't do that. Have a career.
Fuck, please. Oh, yes. I should.
We watched Cody Kota.
Yeah.
Where he does the fucking crossroads off the
apron. From hell, dude. But like, the only time the crossroads has ever actually looked like a finish, dude.
Dude, he did the crossroads off the apron, basically under the fucking ramp, and you're like,
he just dives directly on like this, like the top of his back, bottom of his neck, dude. It's so nasty.
It's so good.
God damn.
Kota is like, you know, I talk a lot of shit because I think it's funny, but Kota is an incredible wrestler.
Neck bump king, man. And also, yeah, like, he's an actual action star in Japan too. I mean, he's like one of those guys that has completely like eclipsed New Japan as a company. Like, he doesn't usually act as himself, but he acts as like Tiger Mask. So like, everyone like knows it's Kota. Yeah,
he's like the Dave Bautista. Is that what you're saying?
I don't know. I've never seen any of his films or acting, but I know that they happen. I've seen a lot of his wrestling, and I would say he's probably a better wrestler than David Bautista, not to take anything away from him, but you know, I think probably. Kota is, you know, I mean,
don't get me wrong. I love Bautista. He's not a great worker.
I'm not trying to step on Batista's toes, man. He'll come fuck me up. You know, he's got a chance, I guess.
yeah, I'll take him. Fuck that bitch.
Bruh, dude, he would fuck me up with his Godsmack tattoo, man.
dude,
Godsmack belly button tattoo.
That's some dedication.
That's a lost bet, dude, or a bad drunken night. Dude. There's no way you did that on purpose.
Go, worry.
So, man. So, are we done? Have we beat around the bush enough, or should I come up with a question and quickly ask y'all?
We have a question, don't we? Because we
forgot what the fuck it is.
Okay, I didn't forget what it was because this question of the week, this is Dozer's question of the week. We actually asked ODB.
So you'll find out at 4:15 tomorrow morning because YouTube, fuck you.
Yeah, no, but for real, Dozer, we asked the question of the week, so she will answer this. But Shane, Dozer wants to know what you would like to see CM Punk do if he made a non-wrestling return, like a non-in-ring return.
Honestly, I think that he would be a really, really good, like, management figure. I think he would be, and not like, I think he would be a great manager for wrestlers, but I'm talking like
GM,
authority figure,
you know, William Regal, you know what I mean? Yeah. I feel like he would be perfect for that because
I'm sorry, it just popped into my head like a storyline where fucking him and Hunter are fucking battling behind the scenes for control of fucking Raw or something like that.
That could be the actual Raw versus SmackDown war. Have each one of them at control.
They could just battle behind the scenes for NXT and, you know, we could skip the middleman and that would be great. You know what I mean? Can you imagine that? Like the lights go out. You know, like people, like random people have been getting attacked, and like no one knows what's up, and you know, the lights go out, and blow out, blow out. Oh, dude, the place is coming blue.
My button lied to me.
Yeah, I don't think that's CM Punk's song.
It is.
Was that old one?
This Fire, dude, by Killswitch Engage. That song more.
That was originally Randy Orton's theme.
Okay, that's why I was like, yeah, dude, that's...
That was Randy Orton's theme?
Originally.
He used it for two episodes, but yeah.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
That's funny. I think that he would be a great addition to the commentary team on it.
Ooh, NXT commentary.
Because I love, like, honestly, CM Punk on commentary is incredible. Like, he really is, like, an incredible talker. And anytime he's done that, it's been, like, just incredible and hilarious. And him with Beth Phoenix, I think, would be really good.
I think him with Wade would be incredibly funny.
I think the three of those people, like, three of those guys together would be great.
Yeah, but you don't have anyone to do play-by-play at that point, though. That's the issue.
Get Mauro in there.
Well, this is that moment I got to pull out some DDJ shit going on right now.
DDJ? I love DDJ.
Yes, because CM Punk and Wade, in a roundabout way, have already commentated together. They were both commentators on Ultimate Beastmaster on Netflix.
What?
What the fuck are you talking about?
You knew this off the top of your head?
This is
because I watched it.
Yeah, this is Dozer level knowledge for sure.
It was fucking terrible, but it's this Netflix American Ninja Warrior ripoff type show.
CM Punk was commentary with Wade Barrett.
Ish. So the way they did it is there were, I think, 8 countries represented, and each country had its own commentary team. CM Punk was on the American commentary team, and Wade Barrett was on the English commentary team.
But who was better?
Well, we live in America, so we got more of Punk.
Oh, well, I didn't know if you had went on like YouTube and had done some.
Nah,
streaming. No.
I know Wade's great.
Yeah,
Wade
absolutely. I mean, there's a reason. There's a reason why he was the one who won that first season of NXT and was the leader of the next. I mean, the guy can fucking cut a promo, and he's convincing. I mean, he's a great, great promo, great talker, good worker.
The problem is he's that William Regal type,
which I mean,
Stone Cold.
I mean, but
Stone
William
Cold and dry humor.
He can, and what I mean by that is he's great. There's nothing wrong with being the William Regal type. You're just never going to get to the top of the company.
Yeah.
As the William Regal type.
I mean, he had that moment, and he, you know, they could have. And, you know, like if you've watched the Heath Slater interview, from
Heath Miller.
Sorry, Heath.
Heath Wallace the Third, Esquire. Heath
Waller Miller the Third. No, Heath Wallace
Esquire.
Miller, Esquire. Interview. You know, he talks about that. You know, and the fact that, like, you know, like, I think this is the moment from that interview that, like, I was like, yeah, man, let it grow like a beautiful tree, man. Then you cut that bitch down.
And make a table.
And make a table. But I watched his Chris Van Vliet interview, and there was like a point where he's like, man, I get to go out there. I get to spread my wings, man, like a baby bird. He fucking cracked. I can't wait for him to fulfill the prophecy and become the heavyweight champion.
Absolutely. But I think it is sadly time for our main event
of the evening.
Where tonight we are reviewing, we have a pay-per-view review of WCW Slamboree 1997.
Oh, shit.
Which one did you watch, Shane?
Oh, no. I just didn't do any guesses for what you guys would rate it this week. Damn it.
Oh, yeah, you didn't write anything.
You
and your job.
It's okay. Don't worry. This show came to us live May 18th, 1997. From the Queen City, Charlotte, North Carolina. And, you know, the show opened with, as everyone can expect, the WCW vs. NWO promo. Package video thingamabobby. And then we get to the first title match. WCW title match. Television title match, where we have Ultimate Dragon with Sonny Ono taking on Lord Steven Regal.
No, yes. Not Lord Steven Regal. He doesn't
dropped the Lord.
He dropped the Lord.
He dropped the Lord in like the 1 month between this and the last show.
Yeah, no, they made a big deal about it on commentary.
Yeah, they Shivani was going off about it, I believe, or maybe it was Heenan. It was one or the other.
Can we talk about the base commentary team for a minute? Because I know they threw in fucking Mike Tenay for one of the matches, and he was great, by the way.
And then dork the next match.
Yeah, I don't know I can't remember what his name was, but
it was like Mark Madden.
But Dusty. Your dad, Schiavone, and fucking that was jarring. Schiavone and then fucking Bobby the Brain is quite possibly one of the funniest commentary teams I've ever listened to. Bobby is just like zero fucks given, especially at this point. Like, he just says whatever the fuck he wants, and it's almost always incredible. Like, there's like one point where he like literally just repeats something that the fucking someone just, he's like, I just said that. Schiavone says, he's like, oh, that's where I heard it. He gives zero fucks. There was a lot of talk about the Orient and coming from the Orient,
which it just feels really weird to hear the Orient.
Yeah.
In 2021.
But yeah, I just want to shout out that commentary because it really made the pay-per-view much more interesting. Not that it wasn't an interesting pay-per-view by any means. It was really good. But, the commentary team was just fucking incredible.
Yeah, I mean, and like especially like Shivani at this point has figured out how to deal with Bobby too. So like it's even funnier because he pretty much just calls him an idiot and then moves on half the time.
Yeah, it's great. No, they just have incredible chemistry. Dusty is just Dusty.
Just out of the
baby. Let's get out there and see what happens, baby. Look at this man. That is a big man in the ring. Now he's going to go in there. He's going to whoop some ass, baby. It's a bicycle.
Yeah, no, they were fun. But the first match, dude, like, what a way to start. Steven Regal is such a good work. I mean, really criminally.
Maybe some of the best facial expressions in the history of the business. Like his facial expressions, even today, but especially around this time, are just unstoppable, man. You can tell everything that he wants you to feel exactly by his face 100% of the time. And it's really awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's great. It's great. Yeah, he just feels like one of those people that, like, Regal's just one of those guys who can have a match with a fucking broomstick. You know, like, he just is that good. He really is.
Look, he can have a match with a broomstick, and then the broomstick will become world champion 3 months later.
Yeah, I mean, but he did that with Goldberg. Like, you know, he's just, like, he can work. And yeah, for like what they were doing, like there was, you know, like Sonny Ono like interfered at one point, and Ultimate Dragon got all pissed off at him, which was like kind of a cool moment where he's like, no, I want to fucking fight this guy. And yeah, it was just like for a start of a 1997 pay-per-view. I mean, do you have the match time on that one, Dozer?
16 minutes and 4 seconds.
Yeah. Yeah. For an opening match in 1997, dude. It was awesome. I fucking
on a pay-per-view where they squeezed 23 matches into 3 hours.
Bro, that's the one thing that WCW understood, though, was that, like, the cruiserweights and like this end of the roster, you know, your Regals and your Mysterios and your Malenkos and all of those guys, you know, that's the bread and butter of your show, and that's why, you know, that is what separated WCW from WWE and made it something totally special. Much in the same way, like TNA felt different with the X Division and, you know, the six-sided ring as compared to the whatever. But like, that's one thing WCW did, was they gave their bread and butter workhorses time to work, because, you know, fucking Hogan isn't going to go 16 minutes in a high velocity.
That's what I was just
thinking. Piper around this time isn't going to do it. Flair would, but there's nobody to wrestle Flair for that long. You know what I mean? And like, keep up.
Nash ain't doing a fucking more than 5 or 8 minutes.
Yeah.
If he did that much.
And he's not doing moves, fucking, man.
And Scott Hall will go for a little bit, but he was getting so fucked up at that point that like you couldn't count on it.
Yeah, he would be wandering the back like Jericho can't find the goddamn ring.
Like in Spinal Tap?
Yes.
what a great
You guys have to like also remember that Ultimate Warrior was involved with WCW really heavily around this time. I think we're going to end up watching the disaster that was their Halloween Havoc match. I think that was 97.
Oh, the fucking, what was supposed to be the big fucking Hogan versus Warrior shit?
Yeah, and it was literally maybe the worst match of all time.
No, that is wildly, like, pretty well considered the worst professional wrestling match.
Oh, dude, I think that was this year. I'm so excited to watch it again.
Did we review this on the podcast already?
No,
I don't think so.
Okay. No. I have a vague memory of fucking talking.
No, we that. Most of the shit we reviewed from WCW was way earlier when it was legitimately like old school.
Because I definitely watched it. I just wasn't sure if we had like discussed it on the show. Because it's definitely worth the. It's definitely worth it.
Yeah. Back to the match itself. Really good. William Regal, consummate professional, constant holds, hard hitting strikes. You know, Ultimate Dragon was everything you wanted him to be, except even maybe a little bit more aggressive, a lot more like stiffer kind of, you know, punch based strikes.
They talked about that on commentary too. They were talking about how they were expecting it to be more high flying. I thought it was going to be more high flying. He's in there throwing strikes. Yeah, no, it was
a great match. I think the finish took away from it though, and that's kind of the crux, which was Sonny Ono turning on Ultimate Dragon in like a really weird way, and like it just didn't make sense with the flow of the match at all. Like and they're like, oh, you know, he will build legends and he will destroy legends, and it's like, why, what?
Yeah,
why did he do it that way?
I mean, it was total fucking. But I mean, which is WC, like, in a nutshell, is like they will put on a fucking 4-star match with a fucking -2-star finish, and you end up with a 2.5-star match from Isaac.
Well, I'm just going to give my thoughts on the finish here.
Fucking bullshit!
Wow, you hit it with that botchamania action, man.
The match was good enough that I'm going to give it a 3.25.
Wow.
That's even like evenly roundable and shit. So
I was going to give it a 3. That's impressive. I was going to give it a 3, and then the finish really took away from it. So that's why I stuck with 2.5.
No, I think that the match itself was better than a 3, which is why I'm going to rate it a 3, because it was probably like a 3.5 to a maybe even a light 4. If I was really feeling it, I could totally see me rating it. But the finish sucks so much. Yeah, God. But yeah, this is a 3-star match and one that I would recommend watching. There are plenty of 3-star matches. I'm like, hey, you probably skip over, but
there's definitely a lot of 3-star matches you can skip over. And talking about matches you can skip over. Sorry. Spoiler alert. We have Medusa taking on Luna Vachon.
What a stinky thing. Yeah. What a stinky match. Other than Luna Vachon takes a fucking clothesline from hell or something. I don't remember what she did, but she flipped right on it. Was it a suplex? She lands right on her neck at one point towards the end of the match, and I was like, "Ooh, Jesus." Other than that, it was just a sloppy mess.
Yeah,
I mean, really bad.
And I'm a big Luna fan. Like, I really am. Luna is top of the list. Like, she comes from an incredible family. She could actually work. Her character was always like fucking crazy. I do not think Medusa was anywhere near as good at a worker. It showed.
Yeah.
Do you remember how she landed on her head, though? Do you remember at all? No.
It was so fast. It was like a 5-minute match. And
5 minutes and 9 seconds.
Yeah. I mean, it was short. I mean, that was the thing about it. It was like, it was short enough where it wasn't bad. You know what I'm saying? It was like, whatever. It is what it is. Like, I'm glad that they're giving women some time to wrestle, but like, obviously they didn't, you know. They just didn't have any time to like talk it. It didn't work. Our match, and Shane and I agree.
No, take a swig of this water.
Ooh, get that water, man.
I was giving it a 1.5, but y'all convinced me. I think I'll give it a 1. We'll make it a 3-way. We'll make it a 3-way. I'll do my shot.
All right, 3-ways are good. 3-ways
because are good. I need a shot to pronounce this next name.
You talk about crayon box.
The crayon.
So, while last night we may have announced that we have a Spanish announced team again, we still do not have a Japanese announced team.
I'm so bummed I missed out last night. I gotta say, I hope you guys had a good time.
There'll be more. Don't worry. There will be more. So
there will be
more. We get
more last nights.
Yes. There'll be plenty more last nights.
That's a fact. So what's the next match?
Sorry, I'm building up time to try and say Yuji Yakusobiraba.
Oh, yes. Well, Bobby
taking
the
on Rey Mysterio
had
Jr.
Had a lot of trouble with that one, too. He kept calling him Yoshi and Yogi.
Yogi, dude. No, that was on purpose, though.
Oh, of course it was.
No, yeah, dude.
But this is when they brought Mike Tenay in, right?
No. They had Tenay on the first match with William Regal, Ultimate Dragon.
Oh, I thought they had him in
I believe. Year. I mean, they had him for both.
I know they had him on this match because fucking he was the one who was talked because they're like, yeah, we got Mike Tenay in here and he knows everything. And he's talking about like fucking where like this guy had wrestled and how fucking Yogi or Yoshi had fucking wrestled with Rey as a tag team partner in Japan at fucking war.
Yeah. He was giving all the Lance Storm tag team partner. Yeah.
Too. Yep. Because he's like, he wrestled with Rey and he wrestled against him, and then fucking Bobby the Brain. Oh, Lance Storm sounds like a goddamn weatherman from fucking Idaho or some shit like that. Fucking hey, Bobby. You're fucking drunk again, aren't you?
So
this match was fucking.
Yeah.
This match was, might be one of my favorites of the night. Although, when I went into this and I watched the first half of this pay-per-view, I was like, man, looking at the card, I was like, the rest of this is going to be terrible. After, like, you know, I think it was the Benoit match. After that, I was like expecting it to be trash. But this whole pay-per-view was actually, with like a few minor exceptions, so this match might be one of my favorites, if not my favorite myself.
Ooh. Yeah, I'll tell you, I think that this match suffered from, like, obviously a lack of heat because nobody knew who Crayon Box was. But I mean, it was solid, you know, non-American style work. I mean, you know, the Japanese guy, huge, like absolutely towered over Rey, lanky motherfucker. You know, he was, you know, doing some more power moves and kind of holding Rey down, and Rey was, you know, what, like probably like 26 here. Like,
young.
You know, like 26-year-old Rey was just insane. I mean, you know,
dude, he did that. Rey's... They had that spot where fucking Yohi was outside or whatever on the ramp, and Ray went to do the dive out through the ropes, and the ref stopped him, and he's fucking leaning out through the ropes doing the one, and Ray just fucking dives over him and fucking.
Yeah, that's like an iconic Ray moment.
And it was just like, it was just so good, and he hit it perfectly, and like, yeah, it was just like they everything they did, they you could tell that they had worked together a lot, you know, like you could tell that they just had chemistry, and that, you know, it was just another classic case of WCW not knowing what to do and just being like, you just go out and do whatever you want, and then here's a, here's your finish, you
know? But that. That's the thing. That's what is good. When you let good workers do what they want because they know what they can do.
Exactly.
You tell them what to do and they can't fucking do it.
But instead of doing that on purpose, they're doing it because they just didn't give a shit. You know, and that's the difference. Like instead of saying, okay, this is the way to get the best product, they're saying, we don't really give a shit what happens. Here's your finishes. We don't care what happens in the first half. We're going to focus on these last couple of matches with the football. Like, that's what
we're doing. Kevin Green.
Yeah. But this one, man, I want to give it 3.75. I really had fun watching.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
That's higher than anything I expected from this. So, yeah, coming in.
This was one of my favorite matches. And if I drink enough, we'll get to a point where maybe I'll throw out a 4-star match for a match that doesn't. I fucking
Shane, what you got?
I got a 3.5 on this one. I don't want to rate it higher than the Steven Regal match, but I can't in good conscience rate this one less than that, because at least this one's finish wasn't fucked.
No,
everything that they did was really good. I just wish that there was more stakes involved, or at least more story, so that way I cared a little more. But as is, it was just like a really good indie match.
Yeah.
Real finishes matter.
And I do like seeing young Ray.
And I'm going to give this a 3.5 as well. I enjoyed it. I would have thought the Regal match would have been higher for myself. But... you know, maybe it was just having watched the New Japan shit that this rubbed off on me, but I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I'd agree.
So that brings us to Mortis with James Vanderberg taking on the immortal, the icon, the legend,
Glacier.
Sub-Zero.
I forgot this happened.
Dude, this was, I mean, luckily it was what, like a minute 40 seconds or something?
Hey, give it all it's worth. Minute 151. Sorry, minute 51. Minute 51.
Yeah. A minute 51. It was like a quick DQ because he fucking hit him with like a fucking pipe or some stupid shit. The only good thing in this match was fucking Ernest Miller coming out and fucking giving Mortis that fucking roundhouse kick to the face and fucking planting him fucking vertically in the air. It was a fucking awesome kick. The replay looked so good.
Somebody better call his mama.
Goddamn. I fucking was like, holy shit, is that fucking... And even Shane's like, is that fucking Ernest Miller? And you're just like, what? It made no sense. It made no fucking sense, but goddamn did it look good. It was the only thing about that match that was fucking worth a damn. It happened after the match itself was barely a match, so it gets 0.25 because there was two bells. There's nothing else to say about it other than the fucking Ernest Miller came out and kicked him in the fucking teeth.
I agree. I don't have anything to add. Dozer, go ahead.
Well, I wanted to say that this match was glorious, but it wasn't. Definitely wasn't.
Wrath came out, right? And he's like,
hold on, stop, drink!
Oh, it's there. Nat. Hey, Nat. Aaron, for you. Thank you.
Hello, Nathaniel.
But yes, Wrath came out and they spelled it a couple times, which I don't completely understand. But yeah, 0.25, barely worth talking about.
I will rate it slightly above any Punjabi prison match and give it a 0.2.
0.2.
I see the scale's been broken for the first time today.
Would I be anything if I didn't break a scale? My scale, I get on and it says, get off. So
you would be a non-scale breaker.
Hey, yo. Oh, shit, man. Yeah, I get on there. It says not for light vehicle. Yes. Shane, did you?
Oh no, no. I agreed with you. I didn't have anything to add.
Okay.
He agreed with you while we drank.
Yeah, you purposefully what? You completely encompassed.
Okay, I just wasn't sure if you had given your full rating. So if 0.25 works, I'll drink to that. Then we can move on to something better.
That brings us to our WCW United States Championship match, where we had Dean Malenko taking on Jeff Jarrett. And Jarrett is a full-fledged member of the Four Horsemen at this point, and the crowd is really digging it. That's all I got.
Fucking slap nuts.
This is another good match. As much as I don't like Jarrett, and I absolutely hate that fucking he wears with the fucking five suspenders on the front and the three on the back.
God, that's terrible.
It's the worst look, but I mean, like, both those guys can work. They both can work, and they put on a...
Yeah, didn't, like, Mongo, like, take Deborah back during this match? And
God, it was so... That part, yeah, the finish and all that was...
Oh, come on. Oh, come on. He can handle it.
He can handle it. Let's go. And let's go. Like, anything with Mongo in there.
Yeah, I mean... But the issue
Candy
is...
Candy Graham for Mongo.
This match here was kind of just the first match, except even more bat based and with a little to no, you know, flying at all. I just that's how I felt about it. It was like, I just wish there was a little bit of flippy shit going on. I mean, it was really good. Yeah, no, I mean, it was excellent.
How do you think you were getting flippy shit out of these two?
Oh no, I didn't think I would. I wanted it. That was
Yeah, my thing is Dean is just such a good worker. Jared is a fucking you know, they put on what was it, like a 15-minute match? Like the biggest issue with it was the weird shit with Mongo coming and fucky finish off itself for a wrestling match for had an old school.
This is where I give it a 2.5.
No, and I get that. I mean, you know, that makes sense. I'm going to drink again because Nat's popping up again here, and I don't know if it's a second to call it.
Well, while you are drinking and I will get a drink ready, I am going to say, only because Dean Malenko won this match, I am going to split the difference and give it a 2.75.
Man, we are very diverse in our...
Look, I love Dean Malenko, while at the same time, I think he deserves a boring chance, so... I'm not, like, hot or cold on either of these guys. They're both, like, middle of the road. They're the definition of mid-carders.
Did we get some 90s chants or what? We'll get to that a little later.
So,
but yeah.
That brings us to the match that, if you know anything about the participants, you knew the ending. I feel really uncomfortable saying this, but in a death match, you have Meng taking on Chris Benoit with Woman.
To her? Yeah.
Rest in hell to the other one?
Don't, yeah. But this was another really good match. It was the story going into it was interesting. The idea that this is just Meng is going to go in there and beat the fuck out of him. And he knew it. And he's like, I don't care. I'm going to go in there and do it. The biggest issue I have with this match, and I think for once, all of us are going to be in agreement, was that fucking Woman was really annoying. Really annoying. And the weird Jackie run-in was make any sense. And even them trying to explain it on commentary didn't make any sense. But the in-ring work was great. Meng is fucking, like, it's Meng. The dude is fucking intimidating.
He'll rip your fucking throat out, and that's just because he likes you.
And that's what he did. That's what
he did. I really liked the finish too.
Yes.
For once on this. Yeah, I thought the finish
great.
Was super cool. Ripped his
fucking throat out. He got him. He choked the shit out of him. It was great. Yeah.
Yeah, and then I hate at the end. They were like, yeah, he looked at Woman and he shook his head, and I'm sure we're gonna be able to see that on commentary. And then like they play it, and it's just not there. And it's like, how, like, that is clearly like the defining moment of this match. How do you miss that?
Yeah,
like that is clearly what they wanted to focus on. And they fucked up.
Yeah, they fucked up a lot of that. And the running, they fucked up. They're like, oh, she stared her down and she ran away. She turned, and it was like they didn't show any of it. Like they didn't show Jackie leaving. They just showed that weird clip of Woman sort of staring, at something, but it didn't look like she was staring towards wherever Jackie was. It was just,
I think, weird. She was literally staring at the camera, like directly to the left of the camera.
It just felt awkward and forced, and it didn't seem like it was, it wasn't in that.
But
the match itself, like once you get inside the ring, was great.
I'm also going to say the ending didn't suck because, given the time, trying to go back to 1997 here, where this was not overdone. They had Benoit pass out instead of tap out.
Yeah, they choked him. They choked him out. Like
he passed out. That protected him. That gate that put over Meng's finisher there.
And he still got to like do the thing where like he was beating the shit out of Benoit. And no, it was a good match. I think without all the other bullshit, it would have been a solid 3, maybe 3.25. I'm gonna go 2.75 on it. Because the rest of the shit that happened really disturbed me. The finish was good. I'm going to go 3 because the finish was really good. I'm going to say 3. Down from 3-2. I talked myself up.
Shane, what do you got?
I'm going to rate it a 3.5 because it was the best booked match of the night so far. Like the booking
it's throughout. It's WCW. That's a very low bar.
Yeah, but the booking throughout made sense. Like, and it was a story I understood, and it was a story they told well. And I think the finish was fitting, like you said, Dozer. I can tune woman wailing out, to be
honest. I cannot. You know what,
I mean, it was annoying, but I was also laughing at her half of the time. So, like, whatever.
I've heard shit on Pornhub that sounded more realistic than what was going on there.
You know, I'm an XNXX.
Look, neither of them are sponsoring us, so we should stop dropping their names.
All right, well, XNXX, if you want to. If you like tranny porn.
And on that bombshell, I'm going to say I'm giving this match a 3, and Shane can finish his review of it.
Oh, no, I'm good.
3. I'm cheering.
3. That brings us to... You're going to make me say this name, aren't you? We have Conan and Hugh Morris with Jimmy Hart taking on the Steiner Brothers.
You know what? I really dog shit. And I actually found myself enjoying this. It wasn't great by any means, but for a bunch of big dudes just throwing each other around and beating the shit out of each other, I had a really good time.
The one thing that annoyed me about this match is Tony spends about a minute towards the end of the match talking about one of the Steiner suplexes. And he's like, yeah, and it hurt him so much more because he landed on the flat of his back. And that's different from landing on his head and neck. And I'm like, what are you talking about, Tony? Like,
landing right is hurts more? What?
Yeah, no, he's like, yeah, and this was a different position.
Maybe,
I was like,
maybe an AEW, but
I'm like
New Japan.
But yeah, no, like the commentary was whatever, but I mean, I went in expecting it to just be a fucking complete mess, and there
well,
was
had Hugh Morris.
But dude, Hugh Morris got thrown around by the Steiners. They bumped the shit out of him. And well, the dumbest shit, you know, obviously is like the forced conflict with fucking Conan and Hugh and fucking Jimmy Hart.
I thought we were blood in, blood out. You said blood in, blood out.
And hearing Jimmy Hart yell that shit is just like the weirdest thing. So I was like, what are you, like, what?
Blood in, blood out.
I also think it should be noted how an athletic big man was so rare at this point in wrestling history. Like, this is what made Scott Scott. He was athletic. He could do shit no big man could do.
Like landing on his own head with his finishing maneuver.
Hey, whatever, dude.
He had things that sucked. And his math ability is questionable, but...
He was a math teacher. Come on, man. But I like this match. It wasn't like anything like special. I don't know if I'd go back and watch it. I might go back and watch it just for shits and giggles because I like seeing them literally just throw fucking Hugh Morris across the ring. But I mean, it was 2.5 stars for me because it was really entertaining and I genuinely did not expect it.
It's a 2.25 for me. Not because it's slightly lower than Isaac, but because that's how I feel.
You're allowed to feel however you want.
Well, as you see, I am raising the glass. I'm agreeing with Shane. It's a 225.
All right, all right, all right. So that leads us into, is there two more? One more? Are we at the end?
No. We have to put bullshit in here.
Oh, God.
Look, it pains me to say this because one of these guys is a Philadelphia legend.
Let's get this over with because this is fucking dog shit.
We have Candy Graham for Mongo taking on Reggie White.
Dude, look at those drop kicks. Look at that drop kick. Oh, it's a collar and elbow tie. It's a collar and elbow tie.
Can I just say zero stars.
I'm just
point. No, it was a match because it was 15 fucking minutes.
Yeah, I don't care. It was zero stars.
It was a match. So we have to rate it something other than zero in the rules for this. So I'm rating it 0.01. This is as low on the scale as I can go. Is 0.01. This was literally the worst thing I've seen in the whole time we've fucking done this show. It was the worst thing I've seen. Not because we watched Flaming Sting fly off the Turner Tron. Not just because it was bad wrestling, which it was, but because it was 15 fucking minutes of bad wrestling when there was no reason for it.
Yeah, should have been 3 minutes.
3 to 5. 5 would have been pushing it, but you want to get fucking Reggie or whatever. You want to give him his time.
Reggie White.
It was dog shit in every single way.
There wasn't even a point to it because Mongo won. Like, there was, by cheating. I mean, there was just no... Mongo didn't look any better. In fact, he looked worse because he couldn't beat a non-wrestler unless he was cheating. Reggie White just lost. He didn't look particularly good. And, yeah, this is nonsense. It's I don't care. It's zero.
Zero. Okay, Shane is... The scale was broken earlier by Dozer. Yeah. Shane has shattered it. Zero. 0.01 for me.
So, what I'm going to say is, when you have a celebrity in a match, you need a ring general in with them.
Mongo
is not that guy.
Dude, he's not even a ring grunt.
I might take Kali over him, to be honest.
Dude, honestly, yes. I won't go that far. I will
at
say...
At least Kali is funny. He can be entertaining.
So, well, I'm going to say...
Instagram... is quite possibly the most entertaining thing I've ever seen. And I don't mean to take us off track here, but one of the last Instagram videos I watched of him was just him holding up a dog. It'd be like, this is my dog and I love it. And he's just like holding it by its head. Like in the air. And you're just like, okay. It's a lot of videos of him standing there doing it. It's awesome. Go follow him on Instagram. It is the fucking best, I swear to you. You will not be disappointed.
So, lucky for all of you, I work in finance. In a world where half a cent exists for no fucking reason. So, I can confidently give this a 0.001.
Even worse than me. Wow, okay.
Both bells rung. It was a match. I can give it more than a zero. But nobody said how much more than a zero I have to give it.
If you start collecting all those 0.001s, though, you get that Superman 3 shit going on like Richard Pryor, and all of a sudden you're a billionaire.
Look.
What?
This match could have been half a star if it was 5 minutes long.
Yes. Yes, I agree.
It could have been 15 fucking minutes!
I think we've spent way too much time talking. Even. let's get on to the main event.
Oh, dear. God, we gotta talk about the. Hold on, do we have two? We have two matches left still.
Wait, we do? I thought we just had the main event. Did we just do Steve McMichaels with Reggie White, and now we're on the last bit? This is it. We only got one left.
Yes, sorry, I scrolled too far on my list.
What did I miss?
Ric Flair, Roddy Piper, and Kevin Green, another football player for some reason.
Look, I'm drunk. Just deal with it.
And they're fighting NWO, which was Kevin Nash, Scott Hall, and Six Pack.
Yeah, we got the NWO taking on WCW.
Okay, this match, I'm gonna say something that surprising. I literally thought this was gonna be the worst, and it ended up being my favorite.
That is ridiculous.
I had so much fun watching this, and part of it is because Roddy Piper is like all time, like one of my absolute favorites. Ric Flair is incredible. I thought Six was really good. They used Green really well for it. I think the only thing I didn't like about the match was that Kevin Nash no sells everything.
Bro, it wasn't a match for like the first half of it. It was just gimmicks, bro. It was Ric Flair styling and profiling, and it was Scott Hall going
a 6-man tag with legitimate main eventers. What did you expect?
I had so much fun.
Actual wrestling.
Fun. No.
I love Roddy.
Look at the people in the match.
I love Ric Flair. And like I said, my biggest issue is Scott Hall, not, like, no selling everything. He no sold everything.
I mean, Kevin Nash didn't sell a thing in his entire career, man.
I know. Except for his hammies. Sold the shit out of those hamstrings.
Yeah, bro. And Connor sold his leg. I mean, you know.
but like, I honestly like the storytelling in the match. I thought was really good. This is where we get to the what I was talking about and alluding to earlier with the 90s chants. Did y'all notice when Six went and did the Bronco Buster? I think on Ric Flair, and he's fucking Bronco Bustering him in the corner. Did you hear the crowd chants? They were definitely chanting hard F-bombs. And I'm not talking about fuck, because we can say that. I'm talking about the bundle of sticks or the pack of cigarettes in England. I was listening. I was like, what are they chanting? Savage? Fast? Fat? Oh, fat. Oh. Oh, Jesus Christ. 1997.
I just have to say it's funny to watch where Isaac draws the line.
Well, you know, like that's just uncalled for.
I'm not disagreeing. I'm just finding it amusing.
Yeah, you know, like even I have a boundaries, you know, and there's ones that start with N, there's one that starts with F. You know, there's a few of them that I'm like, yeah, those are not okay.
You know, those Isaac, okay. I'm still glad that you have a boundaries.
I do. I definitely have boundaries.
Yeah.
Trump in his wall.
I'm going to get my quick rating out of here. So that way, just because I feel like I like it significantly less than you two.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. This was like a 1.5 star match.
Yeah. You're wrong. It's a 4.
2.5. Fuck you both.
Oh,
I'm serious.
I'm serious.
I watched
it. Out of your mind. Are you kidding?
I swear to you. And this isn't just me because I'm drunk. And this is what I was saying earlier. I shouldn't have enjoyed it as much as I did, but I really, really did. I had so much fun. I was completely drawn in more than any other match on the card. And I don't know whether it was because I went in with such low expectations, because sometimes for me, like if I go in expecting dog shit and it's better than that, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you're like, okay. Yeah. Well, honestly, I had a fucking great time. It was awesome. Dude, so entertained. And entertained. The work wasn't the greatest, but I like pure entertainment value for me. I'll go back and watch it. This is the third. It's on right now behind my screen. I'm excited. I'm trying to watch like what I can. And even fucking Green did a really good job.
Yeah, no, and it, like it wasn't a disaster. It was just so 1990s. I mean, the entirety of WCW, really. But I mean, it was. So
but it was 1997.
Well, yeah, no, but that's what I'm saying. That's the issue. Is it was what it was. And to me, to say that this was like a better wrestling match than something like the Benoit match is. Out of this world insane.
It's not a better technical or in-ring match, but I was more entertained. 100% I was.
Yes.
I really was, and that's the thing is like,
I'm like, I can understand why you would more.
But I enjoyed, and I enjoyed Benoit. I enjoyed all the other stuff. Like, I really did. Like this pay per view on a whole, like for 1997, dude. Are you fucking kidding me? Like, I think I want to give this pay per view a 4. This is one of the best pay per views we have reviewed this in the pay per view rear view. Not with the NXT.
I agree with that.
Not with the NXT stuff. But with the pay-per-view rear view stuff, like all the WWF and WCW stuff we've reviewed so far, this is one of my favorite.
Oh, and I totally agree with you, but I think that the booking was too shitty throughout. I mean, and again, that's just a WCW issue. I think the booking was too shitty throughout, and I think the last two matches were just such a buzzkill after like the work we had seen earlier. It's still like a 3-star pay-per-view. Like, I mean, and that's because it shot itself in the foot. That's not because it was just mediocre. I mean, they gave themselves a 3.
Yeah. No, I mean, it really was like some pretty consistently great stuff with a few exceptions. Like the majority of it was great. And
I'm not going to disagree. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the fact that 2 pay-per-views in a row, you had the refs screwing the NWO. That's a big deal back in this time.
Yeah. I mean, the finish would have been a lot cooler live, obviously. I'm rear viewing it.
But I'm giving it a 2.5.
Well,
it exists.
It does.
If I'm doing something like this and I'm trying to rewatch 1997, I won't skip it, but I'm not necessarily going to ever watch this again.
I'd watch it again just for commentary. Just for that commentary team was so good. But I think that we've all given our reviews for this pay-per-view. I think we're, you know, closing in on the end of our show for this week. And I do have to say, it's been a little while since we've gotten to do this format. Last week we had their live interview. The week before that we had a pre-recorded interview. So it's been a little bit, you know, time. So this has been a lot of fun, first of all. And second of all, speaking of interviews, I think it's time to announce the next one that we're going to do. I think, when are we debuting this one?
I do not have the graphic pulled up, so you pull this shit out of your ass.
I don't have the graphic. I'm just gonna say we're gonna record this one, and I think we're releasing it next Friday, I want to say, but just give me 1 second because I'm a little.
I think it's a 4/20 release.
It's a 4/20 release, July 23rd, which, yes, next Friday, July 23rd, 4:20 a.m. in the morning. So just like tomorrow morning with ODB at 4:20 in the morning on SuchGoodShoot.com, next Friday, the 23rd, Hornswoggle will be joining us. Vince McMahon's fucking kid, the anonymous Raw GM, not so anonymous anymore. Where did Dozer go? God damn, he booted himself. Hold on, let me get rid of this bullshit now that fucking Dozer's.
I think he just yeeted. Oh, there he
Dozer
is.
Dozer yeeted, there he is. Hey, oh, he's back. Did you yeet yourself?
Accidentally, yes, I did.
Okay, what happened was he got so excited when I said Hornswoggle that his big old hog smacked the keyboard, got hard instantly, smacked the keyboard and booted himself out. Whatever, Shane. You know
he sucked.
But anyway, yes, we got Hornswoggle, and we're super excited for that. Next Thursday, we will be back with another. I think we're doing an NXT. We're either doing an NXT or we're doing WWF. I can't remember. But next Thursday we'll be back.
We'll look at the schedule.
Episode. Yeah, we'll look at the schedule. We don't really give a
shit. Two seconds.
I'm gonna keep talking. And at the end of that episode, we are gonna announce another really, really special and incredible guest. I am truly shocked that we're even able to say this and talk to them because
I'm excited.
I'll give you a little hint. The one thing I will say is this man is still under his no compete clause from WWE.
I am going to say, and this may be saying too much.
Yeah, you're saying too much already. Are you going to say, I've been Isaac? That's been fucking Dozer over there. Shane.
It's Shane.
We love you.
Next week, 97 King of the Ring.
Hell yeah.
97 King of
the Ring. I'm excited for this shit. I love King of the Ring.
So,
is that Triple H? Is that Triple H's time to finally show?
I do believe that this is him coming off of the awesome. Click treatment.
Awesome. So stay tuned next week for that. Tomorrow morning, suchgoodshoot.com. We got our OD episode dropping. Definitely make sure to go check out Wrestling with Johnners and all of the awesome podcasts on there. What do you say with DDJ, our good friend, Brad Marcus?
Toilet Side Wrestling.
Absolutely. And you know what? Patreon.com/suchgoodshoot. Go there.
Give us money.
Give us money.
Pay me to watch They Live.
Because I really want Shane to watch They Live. And then go to suchgoodshoot.com. Check out our merch section. Buy some stuff. Get an I'm Jewish with Isaac shirt. And help us pay for all these fucking interviews we're doing. Goddamn, I'm going broke. I got kids.
These are facts.
And check out our Heath interview. Check out our Barry Horowitz interview. That just dropped.
Dude, Barry is amazing.
It was a really fun interview. The Heath interview was one of the most fun interviews I think we've done. Check that out. The ODB one is another really, really incredible. She is, yeah, just an awesome, genuine person.
Yeah, really, really cool. Really cool person.
Keep an eye out for all that and for all the other awesome shit we have coming up. We're fucking super stoked.
Keep your eyes on suchgoodshoot.com. Until next time, that's Shane. That's Isaac. I'm Dozer. And we'll catch you on the flip side.
Thank you for listening to this edition of Such Shoot. If you are on YouTube, please remember to like, subscribe, and ring that bell icon. Or subscribe to us on your favorite audio catcher. Or finally, if you're on Facebook, leave a comment, like the video, and make sure to share it out to all your friends. Until next time, we have been Such Good Shoot, and have a great day.